Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Reading from the words of the song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. Reading first the fourth verse, a verse of repentance. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need, and they to find, O Lamb of God, I come. And then the fifth verse, faith. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. All the verses began with those words, just as I am. I think of the picture in Scripture of two men. One came just as he was, and the other came just as he thought he was. And there was a great difference. The one said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, smiting on his breast. The other one says, I thank God I am not as other men are. He thought that, but he was wrong. Stayed in his guilt, pride, as well as other sins. Listen to the words of the song as they're sung. Reading from Romans chapter 4 once more, verse 16 to the end. We might say here, an example of the gospel and the teaching of the gospel, both. The example is in Paul writing about Abraham And the teaching comes also from Paul, the same as was given to Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And he, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What a blessing! All out of Christ, all the fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham long, long before this. When he came out of the Ur of the Chaldees, one of the first things God said to him after he came to Canaan was, in thy seed shall all the earth be blessed. Blessed. Through that seed of Abraham. That was the promise. And Abraham here believes in and hopes in the fulfillment of it. Let's pray that we will understand it, that we will come in repentance just as we are, just as Scripture describes us, none doing good, no, not one. That's you and me and everybody else. And then that we may have Christ to die because of our sin, that we may have his righteousness imputed to us as we read of it here. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, giving thanks in his name for all that has been given. We also give thanks in his name that we can come to a throne of grace to find help in time of need. And Father, our need is great, individually, in the church, in the families, in the nation, and in the world, both Jew and Gentile. We have great need, the church to be revived, the world to be awakened, and to be turned. We pray that thou wilt not leave us go further in the way of unbelief, that thou wilt not give us over to a reprobate mind, that thou wilt not leave us fully in the way, as Isaiah described it. They call evil good and good evil. And Father, we are there. We are calling the terrible murder of the unborn good and our rights, the terribleness of it, probably being the most deaths in the world, continually, far more than other deaths, far more than the death of the victims of the virus that has smitten us and of which we are so concerned, and which people speak of continually and act accordingly, but not, Father, that terrible way of murder that is taking place also continually and by the thousands every day, even in our nation alone, by the thousands, and other nations with it, into the many thousands. And help us to see the awfulness of it. Help us to see the great number of it. And we pray, Father, that we may not think foolishly and minimize the greater things and maximize the lesser things. And again, Father, because we're without understanding, as thou hast said, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh thee. And we pray that we might seek thee in our ignorance, in our pride, in our foolishness. We might come to seek thee, who alone can make Christ unto us righteousness, wisdom, and redemption, and sanctification, all that we need in him, the forgiveness of our sins, and then the deliverance from the power of our sins. We pray, Father, that the church again might be revived to be made a salt in every nation. Thou hast said, you are the salt. but also the solemn words that if the salt have lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men. And we fear we are there today, the church not being paid attention to and not doing that which should be done, our fault first, and then those that will not look at what is true and even mock and hate the way of righteousness more and more. And Father, we pray that thou not give us over to Father such a way, and especially in the election coming up in the future, that we may not vote in those who will, Father, hinder the church and persecute the church, what is left of it. And we pray that we might be a salt and an influence in the nation for thy glory, first of all, and for our own good, and for the good of the church, the good of our families, and then also the good of the nation and the good of the world. We pray, Father, in our nation, that we might be the good also of other nations, as we have been formerly. We pray that thou would bring us back to the faith of our fathers. We ask, Father, for these blessings first. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings, the blessings that we have in this area in nature when others are suffering, and famine, and homelessness, and other calamities of nature, flood and fire and wind, and partial damage to homes, and some entirely by the earthquakes. We pray, Father, for them. We pray for the means used for their help. Those that have suffered terribleness and hurricanes, we give thanks that there are some who can help and do help. And we pray above all that they may know that they have here no abiding city, and that in all these calamities they may be made to look to thee and to the city of whom thou art the builder and maker, even the heavenly city. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for those in older age. We pray for the broken homes. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray for the schools that they might again teach the truth of history, the truth of creation, and the truth of thy holy law, and not come with other foolish things and lies and theories. And they have been there in many ways in creation, in the wrong way of marriage, in the wrong way of those that are outside of marriage. All these things are called normal when they are sinful, when they are wrong. And the saddest part is, Father, that if they do not see they are wrong, we cannot give them the message of righteousness of Christ, they not knowing a need of it. For thou hast come, Lord Jesus, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance and to give them righteousness in thy name. And we pray in the church we might believe it for ourselves and make it known to others. And we pray that this message may not come short of doing that which Abraham had, and we can be called children of him if we have thee, Lord Jesus. Amen. Looking at this once again, we have looked at it last week, particularly in that part. We read in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That was spoken long before he had sight, spoken when he and Sarah were there without children, what we would consider in our time already rather old. Abram was 75 when he was taken out of the early Chaldees, brought to Canaan, and then that went on, and no child. And then finally, Sarah and Abram decided together that he could take Hagar, Sarah's maid, and have a son with her, and he did. But that was not God's way. It was their way, and it's the way of the flesh. And that went on for another number of years. Abram even circumcised him when God gave him the covenant of circumcision, which we've been talking about, won't go into it further this week, but gave him that covenant, and Ishmael was circumcised with Abraham. And then God told him at that time, when Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee, God says, Sarah shall have a son, thou shalt call his name Isaac, and my covenant will I make with Isaac. And that was his hope. Sarah laughed. And as we said last week, God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And Abram also laughed and says, shall I, one that is 100 years old, and Sarah 90 years old, have a child? But though they did that in the beginning, I think we could probably safely say they must have repented and saw their foolishness. There were other times, as we saw earlier, when Abram didn't trust the Lord, but trusted himself, telling Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister, not his wife. It's only God's intervention that kept awful things from happening. So how thankful we can be for Abraham, who also had to come one way, as we read earlier in this chapter. He believed in him who justified the ungodly. He did ungodly things, lack of faith, and he came to know it. And then he believed that he could be just before that God whom he had sinned against, who could justify the ungodly. And as we read in the next chapter, the reason, verse 6 of chapter 5, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for Abraham, the ungodly. He died for me, the ungodly. He died for you, if you will believe it rightly. Your ungodliness, he paid for it on the cross. How terrible and how good. But coming back here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Yes, along the way, God told him he was going to have an innumerable seed when he didn't have a son. And then he told him even further than that, especially the time when he gave him circumcision, when he was 99 years old, changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and said he's going to be the father of many nations. And he is that especially in the way of faith, that all those by faith in Christ and in God rightly can be children of Abraham in every nation, and they will be. Every nation, every tongue, every tribe will be those who believe in the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, as Abraham did. What an amazing thing it is, and what an important thing it is to believe in the only true God. And that means all of Scripture. That means in believing in him, as Isaiah spoke of him, I saw him high and lifted up. And then he says that I became a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That's as the song says, just as I am. And also as God is, high and lifted up. We don't know exactly when Job lived, but Job also said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself in dust and ashes. That's repentance, seeing God high and lifted up, seeing God in all things. God so loved the world. God who is the potter and we are the clay. God who is long-suffering. God who is sovereign. God who is patient. God who has wrath. All in Scripture, by example and teaching. And Abraham here knew that he was guilty before God, the holy God, himself unholy. Having that settled in repentance and faith, he could now hope against hope. Humanly speaking, Abraham, body dead. Sarah, body dead. We read that last week. Verse 19, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, 100 years old, or 99 when God first promised, and 100 when Isaac was born. And he said, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amazing. Man 100, his wife 90, having that son. And from it, more people than anybody can count. Yes, God said so, more than the stars, more than the sand of the sea. But also one solemn thing, though they be great in number. As Isaiah said, Paul repeated it in this letter to the church at Rome, and we can read it in Romans 9. The number is great of the physical children of Abraham, but a remnant shall be saved. The smaller amount knew faith with Abraham in the only true God, knew themselves sinners, knew the need of a Redeemer. Oh, have you learned that with Abraham? Have you learned that with Isaac and Jacob and others? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And all we can find that throughout Scripture. Some people don't like to believe that. Some won't even say, well, God isn't fair. Some want to ask when God will be just. I've heard that from people's lips. Where would we be if God was just? Only just. The wages of sin is death. That's where I would be. And you would be there with me. Everyone. We don't think of it in the true way. We like to think of it, sadly, in a prideful way. We think of it in a trusting the scriptures oftentimes, and often comparing ourselves with others rather than comparing ourselves before the holy God. And even there, we can be mistaken. God stated through the pen of the psalmist in Psalm 50, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself." That isn't the way Isaiah saw it. God lifted up, he's sinful. That isn't the way Job saw it. Saw God in the right way, abhorring himself in dust and ashes. Yes, even Job, a righteous man in many ways, more righteous than others, perfect and upright compared to others, but still knew himself a sinner and came just as he was. And we must. That's the secret. Just as we are, as God says it, not as we think it, wrongly, until we're taught of God. And Abram had that. And now we read further, verse 20, he staggered out of the promise of God through faith, gave glory to God. And we also have to see that, as we talked to some of these things last week, that it was not written for his sake alone, and we'll come back to that, Lord willing, in the next message, what it has for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. But I'd like to look a little bit more at that way of hope that we read of in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. God said so, and he had the hope that it would be true. And there are two kinds of hope. One, we hope for things and say it kind of carelessly, well, I hope so, as if I don't know, and I don't care. But the other is a true hope in God. And we have much of that. We have that in the next chapter, the way we come to that. We read in chapter 5 of Romans 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. That is what God does. We wouldn't ask for tribulation. We don't like tribulation. As it's sometimes described as chastenings, no chastening, for the present is joyous, as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, but grievous. But afterward, going through the tribulation, going through the chastening, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. Yes, sometimes God teaches us mainly just through the Word, but he can teach us through tribulation, through chastening, through hard ways, and some are brought through those ways more than others. And there are many other references that we find. We find it also further in this epistle, the way of hope, the way of general living, the hardship of it, as Paul describes it in that 8th chapter, and states there, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even ourselves groan within ourselves for the adoption of wit, the redemption of the body. And then, what is there in it? What hope is there? It's described in verse 24 of Romans 8, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I don't see much hope in our country. Those that are maybe what we call the best, or not as bad as the worst, are like they're asleep. They don't see danger. They don't go against the wrong things. And those that are wrong, they do. They fight. They lie. They try to, as they have, try to impeach our president, lie about him. And that's quite an ironical thing. They say, well, the president said this and the president said that. But it must not have been so bad what he said because they misquote him. They make it worse. What he said wasn't so bad, or they would repeat it word for word, but they don't. They lie about him. And, again, the church hasn't made the truth known. God has said in his holy law, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. They're doing it in government, lie after lie. I know many people who accuse our president of lies, and I'm sure that all of us lie, but those that accuse him have more lies. And I know when the last election was there, some people said, well, how could you vote for a man who lies? I voted for the man who lied the least, not the most. And those who lost the election are still lying. One thing, the way they lie, is promising many things. Those that are liars often have a vision, but no facts. They have a vision which is only vanity, because it's not in the way of God. Not that any one of our government is in the way of God. All of us have come short of the glory of God in that. But there is one hope in God, one hope that he'll revive the church, bring the church to the same kind of repentance as they did at Corinth. They mourned fervently when Paul wrote to them about their sins. And we need the same thing as God said to many of the churches that he wrote to, the seven churches in Asia, recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Five of those seven, he called to repentance and gave them strong warning. The first one, I'll remove the candlestick if you don't repent. And that means the Spirit will be gone. Before the Great Awakening, the time of Edwards, they thought the Spirit was gone. They feared, but they preached the truth, they obeyed the truth, and there was revival. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, how we need it today. Pray for it. As I'm speaking this, I'm speaking it on what is called the National Day of Prayer, and how we need to pray for our leaders, but pray as much for the church, because our leaders need people who see the truth. And as Christ said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. If the church is blind and leads the government, we will lead them in the ditch. And don't complain if they're there. When the church itself is too much in the ditch of pride, too much in the ditch of the broad way, the compromising way, the lying way, we need to come back to God, as the song says, just as I am, as God says so. Believe it from God, from Christ. Pray for the Holy Spirit to teach us those things. Listen also to the second stanza of this wonderful song. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The blood must have a wonderful place in our mind. Thankful. It had to be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And we need to come to acknowledge that. And then only can we have the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin applied. And as we read in Romans chapter 4, imputed to us.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.